Well, good morning. So glad to have you here with us this morning. If this is your first time here, this round of applause is just for you. We're glad you decided to come. Everybody's excited. We made it above freezing. That happened about 30 minutes ago. Woo! Yeah, it's going to be a bright and balmy 35 degrees when you walk out of here. So suck up all the heat that you can. Enjoy it. My name's Eddie Tilley, part of the staff here at Cathedral. So glad to have you with us. Guest services is coming. We're going to receive our offering. While you're preparing for that, want to remind you again that our deadline to sign up for our Israel trip is Tuesday. So I mentioned last week, if you weren't here, that this is the trip of a lifetime. This is one of those trips. This is one of those investments that will change your life for the rest of your life. And I wish we had time to go through everything that you do. There's just not enough time because there's so much. All the places in the Bible, all the way from the Dead Sea to driving through the Jordan River Valley, which is absolutely amazing, to being baptized in the Jordan River like Jesus, to going to all the different places that you read about in the Bible. It changes your life for the rest of your life because you never read the Bible the same again. Now when you're reading it, when you're having your time and you're reading the Bible, those images, those places are just coming back to mind. And it just does something. There's just something about being in the same place where Jesus walked and where he taught. It just changes you on the inside. And it's inexplicable, but it's absolutely undeniable. Anybody who has ever been to Israel would tell you it changed their life. So strongly consider that, and if you'd like to go, please sign up before Tuesday. You can go online and sign up there. So let's pray over our offering. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to give. Thank you so much that we get to start our new year off by bringing our tithes and worship to our tithes and offering to you as a form of worship. And we just bless you and we honor you because you are our God and you are our source, and we're so excited about what you're going to do in us this new year. So, Father, I pray you bless your people as they give. In Jesus' name, amen. You can take a look at the screen.
All right, can we open the year up and say unlimited?
Unlimited.
Say one more time, unlimited.
Unlimited.
I think that's a good word, don't you? And I think that's one of the words the Lord gave us for this year. I think God's going to do some things that's going to just stretch us and go beyond what we ever thought was possible. How many of you believe God likes to work the impossible? All right. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to stand and take your card out that we gave you coming in here, if you would. Just take this out, would you? And let's stand. Anybody come from a kind of a formal background in church where they would say, let's stand for the reading of God's word? Uh-huh. Well, I still like that because it is extremely important and good, and we're respectful of it. Let's read God's word. Let's read together, with you? All right, let's read. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him pain. And Jabez called on the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would, say it loudly, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and that you would, say it loudly, enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Here goes. Here, look at this. So God granted him what he requested. Father, thank you for this scripture that we're going to be looking at. And I thank you for how I believe that this is the word that you've given us for this season, for this year. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would now take, as only you can do, take your life and breathe into this service and speak to every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated. How many of you know the world is changing? How many of you know it's changing fast and faster? Somebody sent me this article. As a matter of fact, two people sent me this article. And I suppose the second time I got it, I figured God wanted me to have it. And so I hadn't checked the resource on it, and I'm not saying any of this stuff is true, but I can tell you the overall premise that things are changing is true, okay? So here you go. I want you to listen to a few things, the way the world's changing. In 1998, Kodak had 170,000 employees. They sold 85% of all the photo paper worldwide. Within just a few years, What happened to them? Bankrupt. Gone away. What happened to Kodak, the prediction is it's going to happen for the next 10 years to whole lots of industry. How many of you were alive in 1998? Huh? Now let me ask you a question. In 1998, did you think that 3 years later you would never take a picture again in the history of the world on film? Gone. They're saying this will happen again in so many different areas. One of them is artificial intelligence. One is in health care. One is in electric cars, education, 3D printing, agriculture, jobs. Welcome, the article says, to the fourth industrial revolution. Welcome to the exponential age. It goes on to say that software is going to disappear. I mean, software will disrupt, rather, most traditional industries in the next 5 to 10 years. How many has ever heard of Uber? Now, you know what's fascinating about Uber? The Uber is the biggest taxi company in the world. Yes? And they don't own any cars. Anybody heard of the Airbnb? It is the biggest hotel company in the world. And it don't own a single property. Welcome to the new world. Artificial intelligence. Computers, it says, is growing and growing to the point it says that they beat Go Player 10 years earlier than they expected. I mean, they're actually saying that computers are going, in a few years, are going to be smarter than human beings. I thought that was already true. I know mine is. Yeah. They're saying the U.S. attorneys are being challenged more and more by IBM Watson. You heard of Watson? Watson, this big computer, says you can get legal advice for far less trouble and within seconds and with 90% accuracy compared to 70% accuracy, which is done with human beings. So the article said if you're studying law, stop immediately. There'll be 90% fewer lawyers in the future. Only specialists will remain. Watson already helps nurses diagnose cancer 4 times more accurate than human nurses. Facebook now has a pattern recognition software that recognizes faces better than human beings. Yep. How many of you know the self-driving car is coming? Yep. They said around 2020 it's going to start moving faster and faster, and there'll come a point where most of us will not own a car anymore. And said, what you'll do is you'll call a car on your phone. The car will show up. The car will take you where you want to go. You will pay the car. And then you'll go home. I mean, that's it. You won't need to park it. You won't need to park in places. They said, even we'll get to a point where our kids, would be my grandkids, I suppose, my grandkids will never have a driver's license. We'll never need one. That'd be a wonderful day. We'll have to watch him go out of the car. Anybody remember that first time they're backing out of the car out of the Jesus, help. Mm-hmm. Cities will be changed. Think of all the parking lots, parking places downtown that won't need it. Think about the noise level dropping. Yep. They can transform all the parking places into parks. They'd like to, green spaces. Think about how many people won't die because of other people's crazy driving. I mean, if a car wrecks itself, a computer, I don't care if it dies. I mean, you know, so what? But human lives will be saved. How about the car insurance industry? What's going to happen with that? Solar production is on the increase. Therefore, it says last year more solar energy was installed worldwide than fossil energy. So it's going to drop. The prices are going to drop. Technology is going to take care of the strategy for that. Healthcare. Anybody heard of Tricorder X? Tricorder X. It's going to be announced this year. It's a company who will build a medical device called Tricorder from Star Trek. Any Trekkies here? Yeah. And here's what it works with your phone. It takes your retina scan, takes your blood sample, you breathe into it. It analyzes 54 biomarkers that will identify nearly any disease. And it will be cheap. And in seconds, everybody on the planet will have access to it. The world is changing, my friends. 3D printing. You heard of 3D printing? I mean, that's not where you take something and print on this paper. That's where you take an image and you print the whole thing and it's done. I mean, it went from last year from $18,000 to $400 in the last 10 years. In the same time, it's 100 times faster. Now, this is going to be a tremendous blessing for me. It is. And for some of you. Listen to this. All shoe companies have already started printing 3D shoes. And now I'm going to say, baby, we don't need to go buy a pair of shoes. Hey, let's just print one out right here. I mean, this is... Some spare airplane parts already have 3D printing in remote airports. A space station now have a 3D printing that eliminates the need for large parts to go. At the end of this year, smartphones will have 3D scanning possibilities. There, you can 3D scan your feet and print your perfect shoe at home. I just got to see the price tag. That's all. Just pray it's cheaper. Okay. In China, they already have 3D printing. It's already built a complete six-story office building. World's changing. Longevity. It's got a whole article here. But just on average, is anybody ready to live to be 100 years old? Well, it's right around the corner. I hope you make it to the corner. All right, here we go. The world is changing. That's one of the reasons why I believe that we should pray this prayer that we're talking about. Jabez, bless me. Now, I know when you say that, for a lot of folks, it sounds selfish. It sounds like, you know, well, you can't pray that. You can't pray. That's selfish. But you know, the Bible says that God honored his request. It wasn't selfish to God. And it wasn't a wrong motive. I know the book of James says there's a way you can pray and the motive is wrong. But obviously, this was not it. He says, bless me. In context with this, friends, what I think part of the blessing is that God wants to bless you, your life, the time, space he's put you in on earth. He wants you to honor him. He wants to flow through you. I mean, he wants his will to be done on planet earth. And even as fast as it changed, here's what's never going to change. People need God. Never going to change is people are hungry for God. Never going to change. We have got to have God at the center of our life to ever make sense out of life. What's never going to change is you got to have God right down in the core for life to make sense. If you don't have that, it's never going to work. I don't care what happens with the artificial intelligence. God's got to be at the center of a human being's life. But is it okay for you to say the words, God, would you bless me? Because I think part of what we're going to have to get straight for this year, we've got to get that straight. Is that okay for you? Because here's what has to happen. In order for that to happen in our lives, what has to happen is our mind has to agree with God. We got to say what God says. We got to think what God says. We got to be on the same page. We got to be lined up. Because if you're stinking thinking and then you're talking, it goes cross-cut to what God wants to do, then it messes up his will coming to pass. So we need to be able to think like God thinks, say what he says about us and about our life. But I know that really bothers some people. I know it because it feels, again, like it's selfish. I should not pray. God bless me. Let me ask you this. Let's read Ephesians 3 and then I'll ask you. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Read out loud with me, would you? God is able to do more than you what? Is that true, yes or no?
Yes.
Does God want to do more than you can think?
Yes.
More than you can imagine?
Yes.
Now listen to me. So what God has may be a little step further than where your thinking comes and stops right now. It may be right beyond what you're imagining now. I think the phrase, bless me, could be interpreted like this. God, I can't go there. Would you take me there? I want your will for my life to be done. I don't see it. I don't understand it. And maybe I'm thinking too small. But would you enlarge my mind so that I could think like you think? I want to see what you see. I want in the future what you want. Now this year, 2017, you know, and our calendar, a little different than the Jewish calendar. In the Jewish calendar, this is the year 5777. And it actually is the year of the crown sword. It is what a lot of people are saying is this is the year, the big word they're putting on is breakthrough. Anybody need a breakthrough? 2017 is the year of breakthrough. I believe that. And I believe it goes right along with this. It's the year God wants to bless you. I believe that with all my heart. If we can line up. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Now this is a prophecy and he's quoting it. And it's being fulfilled. At the end we'll read where it says, and proclaim that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. It was the acceptable year of the Lord because Jesus had come. Let's read it now in context. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So now read the last phrase with me. And to proclaim the what? Which means all this now happens. Now this year is the year that happens. The acceptable year of the Lord. Or could I say it this way? The year of favor. Or this way, could be the year of blessing. When you pray, God bless me. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I think this is true. Let me see if this is true. And if anybody here needs any of this to happen this year, would you just simply let me know by saying amen. The Spirit of the Lord on me because he's anointed. Anybody got an anointing in your life? Here, say amen. Amen. Okay. To preach the gospel to the poor. Anybody want to be used this year? All right, to help, to minister, to share a word, to preach. Anybody else? Say amen. Amen. All right, anybody have a broken heart that needs to be healed? Amen. You know anybody does. Amen. Is this the year of the Lord for that to happen, yes or no? Yes. Is this the acceptable year? Yes. See, our thinking has got to rally around that point. God, I really believe you want to do this. I really believe this is your time. I really believe this is the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm in agreement with you, God. Not that I want to do it in my will, and it's not selfish at all. I'm in agreement with you. I think this is something you want to do, and I'm in agreement with you. To proclaim the liberty to the captives. Anybody captive that needs to be free? Yes. You got any friends? Yes. This is the year. Anybody, to restore sight to the blind. Anybody here, you just, what you've been seeing is not really good. Anybody been trying to see what the next thing looks like? You're trying to get vision. You're trying to get things straight. You're just all muddy and just not a lot of hope. Things just don't seem up. I mean, just anybody would like to have your eyes open and God would say, I wish you could see what I see because I know what I've got for you. It's not what you think. It's good. That's what I got for you. To the press. Now listen to this. Over 20 times in the New Testament, it says things like this. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And we all understand your heart's got. This is not out of a selfish motive. This is out of somebody trying to align themselves with God. And God is saying, just come. Ask out of your sincerity. Just ask. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You have not because you ask not. Over and over and over and over and over again. Jeremiah 33:3. Look at this with me. Let's read it loudly, if you will. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you what? Great. Say it again. Whoa, great. Anybody got any expectation of God showing you anything great?
Yes.
Is that true, yes or no?
Yes.
You want to close it up and just say, that's not a part of it. Is that true, yes or no?
Yes.
It's great. Does God want to show it to you?
Yes.
And not only great, but what?
Mighty
things. Do you know them now?
No.
But will you know them?
Yes.
See, that's this year, friends. That's 2017 right there on the screen. God said, I want to show you. That's the reason you ask. That's where you said, bless me, God, to see. Bless me to understand. Bless me to get it. Bless me where I have an openness about it. Bless me while I have an attentiveness about it. Bless me so the switch is on. My hunger is on. My desire is on. Yes, Lord, bless me with understanding. Bless me with vision to see. Bless me, Lord. Lord, would you bless me? It's not selfishness. It's a hunger. May the hunger for righteousness, they will be filled. It's a passion you're seeking God for. Now, let me take a moment, if I could, because my whole point up to this point has been to get you to right here. Because now, I want to talk about a couple of words and a couple of passages where this makes application. I think for some of you, if you struggle with that whole thing, you know, I every once in a while I run across, matter of fact, I had lunch with a guy. He was in last service, 9 o'clock service, and we had this conversation over lunch. And because he prayed during lunch, he prayed, and Lord, keep me humble. And so after he prayed, we were talking. He's a friend of mine, so I was able to tell him. I said, you know, I have plenty of opportunities to be humble without asking God to give me more. Because after all, you know, the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord. I said, you know, God can humble you, but you don't want that. You want to humble yourself. And so after the service this morning, he came and says, now I really get it now. Because I would struggle with this passage if you just said, pray God bless you. But now I understand. Now I understand that it's not selfish. Now I understand that when you pray, God, I don't have to pray you keep me humble. I need to humble myself. Now, let me put it in context for you. Let's read this out of Acts, Acts chapter 17. And he's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their, say this next word with me, their what? Pre-appointed time. Who determined the pre-appointment? Now, this is not the appointment. This is the what? The pre-appointment. Pre-appointment times and the what? Boundaries of their dwellings. Who determined that? All right, everybody look at me. If you could back the clock up to when the pre-declaration happened out of God's mouth, the pre-declaration that your boundary, some of you, God would say, way on down the road, he could say 2017, you'll be living in Charleston, South Carolina. That's your boundary. For since beginning, before time, God knew that. Who set that in order? God set it in order. Well, Mike, I made the decision. Oh, you think you did. Now, I want you to watch this. Pre-appointed the times and the boundaries. The word for boundaries is the Greek word we get the word horizon from. It's the furthest edge. It's the furthest you can see. So here's what I think part of this is God saying, you can only see so far. I know what's beyond the boundary. When you pray, even we'll get to it next week, about enlarging my territory, it's the fact that we don't see, but only so far. We don't understand to the horizon. It's when the sky meets the land. You can't go any further. But there is something further, and God understands that. So he sets these boundaries for your life and mine. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That you're not an accident in any way? That God has set your boundary? You're living where you're living? God did that. The time you're living, the generation you're living, none of this is by accident. The times and boundaries are set by God. There it is. Let's look at another, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared when? Everybody look at me for a moment. When you got saved, God didn't stop and call a committee meeting in heaven and say, okay, Georgia got saved now. We got to figure out something for Georgia to do. Before you ever were, you were. Before Satan ever thought about the sin he would commit that the human race would fall of, before he ever thought about it, God already had a plan of how to correct it and finish with it. All this has been pre-arranged, pre-thought in God's mind. Your boundaries where you are, and we are his workmanship now, that God's working on us to get us to the place where now we fulfill all that He's destined for us. The word workmanship there, where His workmanship has the Greek word picture of somebody sewing, and they're taking a piece of cloth and they're making a garment out of it. So it's going through the process of becoming. So are you and so am I. We are a piece of garment and we are being made into. Now, years ago, I never found out who it was. It was always kept a secret to me. And it was fine. But I got a note from a guy, and he said to me, I don't know if I look bad or what, but he said, I'm going to send my tailor to you, and he's going to make you a suit. And so I never knew who he was. All I know, got the note. This guy showed up at the office. I'm here to measure you. I never had one of those things measured. But I tell you what, they measure everything in the world. I mean, they measure here and here, and they measure here, and they measure here, they don't measure in the inch either. Or they don't cut it down to the half inch, or even, they go down to the 16th. And then when I measured them in the suit, I brought the suit one day, and I put that suit on. I never had a suit like that. It actually fit. I want you to watch this now. The God who established the boundaries, the God who established the horizon and the dimensions of your life, is now creating and working on you so that what He has prepared and declared for you, that you will become the person that steps into that suit and fulfills everything that God has ordained for you to fulfill down to the nth degree. You are His workmanship. And He's working. He's working to get you there. Some of you know what that's like, don't you? Some of you felt the needle when it pricks you, you know? It's the workmanship to get you so that every single thing, not to an inch of your life, right on down to the nth degree. Because when you're the workmanship of God, He does good work. How many of you know that? Now, so when you're praying, bless me, you're simply praying, God, what you have for the circumference of my life, I want that to happen. What you have, what you've ordained and proclaimed, I want that to happen. What you pre-decreed, I want that to happen for my life. I want to be in agreement with you. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to be in agreement with you. One of the biggest struggles I think people have is I think they compare themselves to other people. Anybody here have trouble doing that? You compare yourself to somebody else. They're real good at this. They're good at that. And you're not good at this. And you don't look here. And you poke out there. And you indent here. And always something better. Time out. Who made you? Whose workmanship are you? The reason you got the personality you got? Because God gave it to you. The reason you're like you are, God needed you to be. And granted, we're all in process, so don't blame everything on the fact that God made you this way. You know? don't do me wrong on the way home and look at your mate and say, I told you I was like that. God made me like this. Don't do that to me, okay? I'm trying to help you. Don't sell me down the river. He knew what it would take to make you tick. He knew what it would take to light your fire. He knew what it would take to build passion. He knew what it would take for you to be you. He knew He had to make me a little conservative and, you know, just kind of stand backish a little bit like I am. He knew He had to make me where I could go sit in my office. And I'm telling you, and just study. 10 or 12 hours is just the most wonderful thing. I mean, just gathering stuff, and out of the whole time you come up with just a few little niggas, I mean, a few things here and there. For somebody else, they'd say, that is a waste of time. I say, no, it makes my day. Dean will come in there sometimes, and she just, so upstairs in the frog in my office at the house, and so she'll open the door, which we always have an ongoing thing about this, and that is that when she thinks God gives her parking spots up front the whole time, every time she goes to park. and then we'll get home and have to go for a walk to get exercise. And I'm saying, let's just park back here and walk up there to the store and not have to walk when we get home. Nope, God's got a parking spot for me. So with that in mind, she'll come and she'll open the door. You know, I've been up there forever and a day. And she'll say, you all right? You won't walk up the steps. I mean, yeah. You all right up there? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm all right. You up there by yourself? Yep, me and God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, it's so wonderful. So wonderful. It's been a mighty long time. I know, I know, I know. Are you getting lonely? Oh, no, no, no. You back through? Oh, no, no. But this is going to be a long one, baby. This is going to be a long one. Stay in the cave a long time. Why? I just love it. It's just how I'm made. It's what I like. It's what He made me to be like. And it's what He made you to be like. I just would like to declare over you, if I could, if God would just supernaturally grant a wish that I would have, I would just bless you as a congregation, the 2017, that you would fall in love with the person God made you to be. And you would stop trying to be somebody else and stop competing. And just finally look up and say, God, thank you. You really did a great job when you made me. That's what I wish for you. Now somebody ought to say, yay, God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some of you say, oh, Lord, I never could do that. I just, this is a whole nother subject. Let me drop it before I leave. People try to change oftentimes, even in God. And what keeps them from changing is the so lack of appreciation they have for who God really made them to be. They're so mad and they're so feel rejected about themselves, so disgusted with themselves until it locks up change. We think that's why people think shaming people would bring change. It doesn't. Then making people feel terrible, they say, well, I'll make them change. It doesn't. Even in Scripture, it says, the grace of God leads to what? Repentance. You're not going to beat up on yourself enough to change. You need to stop. Say, God, I just need your help. Now, you need to change what you need to change. But I'm tired of being at war with me. I'm tired of always being down on me. I'm going to think about myself like you think about me, if that's all right. All right, let's go. One last thing and we'll move on. Now, the gifts of Christ, let's look at Ephesians 4. The gifts of Christ came to the church, and the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers, and their responsibility is to, what's the next word? Is to equip who? To do what? To do His work and to build up the church. All right, and the body of Christ. Now, so this word equip now is a word of alignment. And it's the word literally means to put in place. It's a medical term that if you ever had a limb or something that's out of place, that comes out of the socket, that you put it back in place. That's what this phrase is. The pastors, say, friends, are to help put people in their right place in the body so that now all that we've been talking about, that God could bless them, they could grow to full dimension, all that would happen now. But now this is in context with the body. It's not. This is not on your own. You hear a lot of people say, well, I can worship on my own, sit down on the hill somewhere. No. This is in context of A, the authority God's placed you under, but B, the body He's placed you in. And so now all that happens and comes together. I want y'all to see this with me. Acts chapter 13. And they ministered to the Lord and they fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for what? For the work. Who called them? I've called them to. I want you to watch this. Watch this with me. You have the pre-decreeing, God saying, God setting the boundaries, God putting everything in place, and now God ordaining all this. And now God working with somebody as his workmanship to help them become the person who would do all that he said they would do. And now when it's time and when it's ready, the Holy Spirit spoke and he says, now is the time for that to happen. There is a time, friends, when it is a now time for that that I've decreed to happen. For that that has been in my heart before you were ever born, for to manifest now in life, there is a time. I believe 2017 is a time of a lot of now things happening. See, the Bible says in the book of Job that God, that it talks about him, the stars being flung, and it talks about worship happening as God is creating. And it's like God singing. And part of his singing and worship is the stars are being flung and he's creating things. In that same concept, friends, back when he was doing his declarations and when he was declaring your boundary, everything about you, designing you, speaking it, decreeing it, before the pre-stuff, before it ever, and he was decreeing all of that. Now, if you can imagine when he, back here, now watch this, back here, for the beginning of time, decreed, Saul, you're going to be this. Barnabas, you're going to be this. I decree it, saith the Lord, and it will happen. Time goes on. And it goes on and gets down now until these guys are born. And now it goes until now. He has done predestined them. He's done work with them. He's done set the boundaries of them. He's done converted them. They're working, and now they're serving in the church. And now, and all of a sudden now, the Holy Spirit speaks. And the decree that was back here eons of time ago finally now comes, and time catches up with it. And now what he spoke back then now is manifested. And he said, now separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for now's the time that this is going to happen. His decree had finally caught up with time. Makes sense to you? And what God has decreed over you, friends, I think there is a time this year where some of that is going to come to pass, and now is the time this to happen. Now is the time. Now is your time. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year where you thought you couldn't hardly make it. You thought the dream was dead. You thought it would never happen. You thought you had it. I was sure that's what you had for my life. I knew you had something, and it's just been so hard and so long until you wondered if you even had it right. I mean, you've said before, God, did I miss you in this? Did I just miss you in this? And God is saying, no, my decree is going to catch up now, and time, my decree is going to come together, and now it will happen. It will happen over your life. One last verse, and then we're going to have communion together real quick. I love this. It's Job 22. You will also declare a thing. And read this next phrase. You will declare it, and what? It will be established for what? For who? Oh, well, Lord, I don't want anything established for me. Just established for everybody else. It'll be established for you. See, light will shine in your ways. Let me tell you what that reads, if you could do a literal translation of that. When you will declare a thing, let me give you the translation. It says this, that you will decree a decree. In other words, basically what you're doing is you're decreeing a thing because God has already decreed it. You decree what has been decreed, and God says, I will establish that thing. Make sense to you? So this year, I want you saying what God says about you. This year, I want you saying to your wife about what God says about her, to your husband what God says about him. I want you saying about your kids what God says about them. I believe this will be a year of healing for families. I believe it'll be a year where prodigals will come home. I believe it'll be a year where some children are far from God will come back and find and men and be men in the family and find God. I think it'd be a year of restoration. That's what I believe. Now, anybody else believe that? I mean, I'm not asking you to believe it. It's just a resonance inside your spirit. It's a bear witness with you. I think that's right. If it is, then you got to get your tongue straight You got to get your belief straight. And we got to go into 17. That's the reason I asked you when I sent out the note. I said, if you can all make it possible for this next, we're going to do this a 4-week series. Next 3 weeks, if you can be here, because I want every week for us to build on this thing until we get our thinking, get our hearts right, so that we can be in line and we can be decreeing what God decrees. Okay? All right? Amen. They're going to begin to pass out the elements. It's an open communion. And so if you're a Christ follower, feel free to join us. You don't have to be a member of the church. And if you just hold the communion, then I'll come back in just a moment and we'll have communion together, okay? All right? So let's worship together as they pass it out. When Jesus met with his disciples and said, I'm going to have this meal with you, and this is the blood of a new covenant, and this is my body that's going to be broken for you. If you can imagine with me, all that I've been talking to you about what I, at least I believe God has in store for us this year, what I think he wants to direct our minds around and our thinking, what he wants us to start trying to understand that this is what he wants for us. He had in this meal. I mean, he said this. He said, this is my body that's going to be broken for you because you're broken and I want to give you my wholeness. I'm not broken. I'm going to be broken because I'm going to take your place because I want you to have this wholeness. That's what I want for you. That's my heart for you. For you, for your family, for your life. That's what I want. And he said, this is my blood. Because I hate for you to be guilty. I hate for you to carry a burden of sin. I hate for you to just be weighed down with guilt. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to die for that whole sin factor. Why? Out of my heart, I want this for you. My Father wants this for you. You take it, he said. Because this is a new covenant. It makes just this. So when you pray that prayer, it's like you're saying, God bless me. I'm not selfish. I just want what you want for me. I just want what's in your heart for me. I want your death to actually make a difference. I don't want it to be something just happen in vain. In my life, I want the effects of it to happen. You're such a good father. And I want what you want for me. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to take the element. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to ask you, if you're here, and your husbands and wives, if you're here, if you would just save part of your element, save half of it, and then when you drink your juice, to save part of that as well. Because I'd like for you to serve each other, if you would, communion, just soon we finish this up a little bit, okay? So just, if you don't mind, use those. So don't you break your element. You take half of it and just hold it in your hand for a moment. I'm going to ask you if you agree with this after I'm finished praying. Do you just simply confirm it by your agreement of amen, all right? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you took the place for us that you were broken. And Lord, we ask you to take 2016 and every part of it where the enemy had tried or circumstances or just life sometimes can break you. It come against us in every way that was not your will, that was pushing against your will in our life. And we ask you now, would you cover it? And would you redeem it and heal it? We close 16 in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, we say amen. Amen. Take and eat. You take your juice, and again, if you're married, you just drink part of it in just a moment, but let me pray first, and then if you agree, would you say amen? Father, we partake of this. We thank you for the power that's in your blood to cleanse us. And so would you cleanse us? We just ask you to cleanse us for anything in 2016. We ask you to cover 2016 with your blood and separate it from us. May your sword, the sword, may divide. And now may you open, we ask you, would you open 2017? Would you open it, God? And we open it by declaring your will be done over our lives, our family, our children, our businesses, our ministries, in Jesus' name. We release your will. We release your blood. And we declare what you declare over this year. And we say, so be it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Take and drink. All right, if you would, just for a moment, if you happen to be with your spouse, would you just turn and serve each other communion for a moment? If you're here and you're without your spouse, just take a moment and just you and the Lord dial in just for a moment and have some time with Him. All right. Somebody said, Mike, that's not fair. He said, you got a bigger cup than we do. That's probably not fair either. Mine's real and yours not. So anyway, I'm just kidding. Let's stand together. If you would, pass your container to the aisle. Let's worship together just for a moment before you go. All right, pass your container to the aisles. Let's worship. All right, I'll give you one visual before you go. And then this side, y'all can catch this. I'll come back and do it on this side. Here's a visual for you guys. God has pre-declared stuff. But there was nothing but just silence except His voice. Declared you, declared what you'd do, where you'd be. He set your boundaries. And now you're walking in it into fulfillment of it. And by the time I declare over you, you finish your life, you will become everything He's called you to be, fully developed into the workmanship of God Almighty. I bless you guys with the same thing. He declared it over you. He said it over you. Some of you wondered if you're going to ever get there. Some of you wondered if you messed up too bad to get there. Oh, no. No, 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 no. God's saying, no, never. What I have declared, you declare. And you will walk in the fullness of the man and the woman that I've created. And you will be the full workmanship of your Creator. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Lord keep you, cause His face to shine upon you. I want you to give somebody a high five and say, don't you be saying nothing about me except what God says.